Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome to On the Mark. Mark Lawrence taking an extended holiday weekend off by going somewhere special today, I'm sure. And this is in preparation for his vacation, which is coming up next week. But I am Joe McGranahan. With me today is Steve Kushaloff. Steve is a former Sunbury City Councilman, longtime employee at CEDACOG, a very knowledgeable member of the Democratic Party, and a very common sense and intelligent liberal. And I don't always use those words together, just like you don't use common sense and intelligent conservative together very often.
You know, I was just, I was sitting here feeling so good, and then you kind of made a sort of a left-handed thing.
Oh, no, it's not. I believe there are many, many intelligent liberals.
Oh, thank you.
I believe what Ronald Reagan said, however. The only problem with them is they know so many things that aren't so.
Well, the other thing is that we do know what's right and what's wrong.
Did you see our Ronald Reagan duck, by the way?
Is that what that is?
Yes,
I saw that. All I saw was a guy that looked like Ronald Reagan, and he had kind of a smile on his face, and I thought, it looked like it reminded me of something. But when you say about an intelligent liberal, I'm also a Phillies fan, and the way things are going, that might have been a mistake.
Well, are they more than three games out now?
I don't know.
Oh, they were in first place for a while.
They are four games out now.
Four games out. Oh, that's not good.
Bad. It's not going well. Oh, well.
Well, Jorge Alfaro will save them yet again.
Oh, Lordy.
On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. We have a toll-free hotline number, and this is an open phones day. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us at 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by your good friends at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, the Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. And you can text us at 70236. The entire program is brought to you by the good folks at the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4 Streets in Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at www.sunburymotors.com. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars. They are premier service providers for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, and they're a master towing service with decades of experience. Find them on the web at www.sunburymotors.com, where you can build a Ford car or truck to your specifications online. They'll help you bring that dream into reality of the Sunbury Motor Company. Well, Steve, it's been an exciting weekend, and now here we are on Monday, and lots of big things are happening. Lots of buzz, if you will. That's going to be a slight pun over the Buzz Aldrin comments over the weekend slamming the First Man movie, which, if folks, in case you haven't heard it, it reenacts the landing of the Americans on the moon. And, of course, the planting of the American flag was left out of that.
Yeah, and everybody is up in arms. And
I am. I'm up in arms over that.
Well, Joe, it's unfortunate. I mean, I think we landed on the moon in 1969.
That is correct.
And it's unfortunate.
July the 20th, I believe.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you have never had the opportunity to see any footage of when that American flag was planted on the moon, or never had the opportunity.
Oh, but I have, friend.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Oh,
yes,
you have.
I've seen that.
You have seen it. And so they make a movie about it, and you have to see it again?
Well, it's, you know I'm a history buff.
Yes.
Historical accuracy in a movie about the landing of men on the moon. If you're going to omit a major detail like the planting of the American flag, why not cheese it up and have Donald Duck come out and say, what's up, Doc?
Well, that number one, that's a very good imitation. But number two.
And that's not Donald Duck. That's Porky Pig.
Yeah, I thought it was. But number two, if we're going to include just all of the specific things that occurred without bringing any other aspects into it, let's just make it a documentary. let's just take all that footage and splice it together.
It's called a docudrama, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what it's called, but it's a drama, and it focuses on not only the specifics that happened, but the impact, the way that people approached it. I mean, to me, you know, a drama is not so much what happens, but how it affects the people. But the other thing is, Joe, that, you know, when I initially read about this, I was reading that the American flag was left out. And I thought, and then the more I read, I realized, no, the American flag was not left out. The American flag is prominently featured throughout the film. The only thing that is specifically left out is when they planted the flag into
the surface. But why leave that out? It's part of it. I mean, what is more iconic than two American astronauts stepping off a spaceship and planting the American flag? If that isn't iconic history, I don't know what is.
Just because it's iconic doesn't mean, number one, that you haven't seen it, and that, number two, we need to include it.
I got a hunch I'm going to disagree with our first caller here, movie Mike McGranahan. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. You know, I don't normally get a chance to listen to the show, but I knew you were going to bring this up this morning, so I had to call in.
Well, you're right. So what's your opinion?
Look, this is why you got to stop watching Fox News. This is a non-controversy, okay? I have talked to a couple film critic colleagues who saw this movie at its debut at a film festival over the weekend. They said that it is an incredibly patriotic movie. It is very much a film that portrays these astronauts as American heroes, and that there are American flags throughout this movie, including shots of it on the moon. There just isn't a shot of them putting it into the ground.
Why leave
and
that
I think
out?
There was so many.
Why leave that out?
It could be for a lot of reasons. It could be for considerations of time. Part of it was because, as the star Ryan Gosling said, those astronauts wanted to view it as a human achievement. They didn't want it to be about them.
Well, Buzz
they wanted
Aldrin,
it to stand
Buzz
for
Aldrin.
Something else.
What about Buzz Aldrin? He was the second guy out the door, wasn't he?
Yeah, but it's a film, okay? And it's a film that, from everything that people who have actually seen it are saying, is very patriotic. And I think it's preposterous that so many things are going on in this world. I mean, there are 3,000 people who died in Puerto Rico because we didn't do enough to help with the hurricanes, and people are getting all upset over something that's not in a movie. You know, and creating this controversy out of thin air. It's just looking for something to be outraged about.
But if they had thrown it in, now you say for considerations of time, it took approximately 2 seconds to stick the flag in the ground.
Joe, let me ask you,
the flag also fell over. I mean, it was not something that just went in the ground and stayed there.
It fell over when they took off, and that would, if they'd have showed that, I'd have had no problem with that either. It's historically accurate.
Let me ask the two of you.
Finding something to get upset about for no reason. I don't understand why people are making such a big deal out of this.
Let me ask the two of you a question. Did you guys see the movie Lincoln that Steven Spielberg did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the things they left out of that movie was the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Now, that was certainly an iconic part of American history. The film does not show the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
But what the film was focused on wasn't the end of his life. It was on his efforts to get the anti-slavery amendment ratified.
Okay,
movie is focused on Neil Armstrong and who he was
exactly
as a man,
right.
Not on putting the flag in the ground.
But who put the flag in the ground? Neil Armstrong.
Yes,
Neil Armstrong did not view it as a victory for Neil Armstrong. He viewed it as a victory for mankind, and the film wanted to emulate that.
But he didn't plant a flag. He didn't plant a flag saying, "I'm here to honor mankind." He said, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." But he planted an American flag, which was what he said after. He said that first. He stepped off. He planted an American flag. That would take, that entire thing took maybe 10 seconds. And I can't believe if you're trying to make a movie about Buzz Aldrin and you know, and the, not just him, but and Armstrong, why not throw it in? I mean, leaving it out, you could predict that people would be offended.
Well, people were...
No, just because people are short-sighted and like to have something to complain about. I mean, not every movie, TV show, or song has to scream, "God bless America." I mean, we know America is a wonderful country. Not every piece of entertainment needs to have some kind of, you know, political or you know, whatever message in there.
You call me short-sighted,
Bowman? I would encourage you, well, I mean,
you call
on,
me
you
short-sighted?
Know. I've known you for 50 years.
You want a
I
piece of me? You want a piece of me?
I'm qualified to say that. I just think people should see the film first and get a sense of the tone of it and what's in it, and then if they want to complain, they can complain.
Look, I'm arguing from the historical perspective. There was no logical reason to leave it out. It didn't take that long.
This is not history. This is cinema.
But it's cinema about history. It's cinema. All right, so well, then why not? What about my other argument? Why not have Mickey Mouse come out riding on his back?
That's quite a
jump.
You and I
had a disagreement on Friday about the movie Operation Finale, okay?
Right.
Which was not 100% historically accurate. You and I both like Spike Lee's movie Black Klansman, which is not 100% historically accurate. Movies never are. And if you go into them expecting to see every last little thing portrayed and portrayed realistically, you're going to walk away very disappointed.
Well, going back
That's
to Spike
not
Lee's
the function of cinema.
Going back to Spike Lee's movie, if they had portrayed the Ku Klux Klan guy as white instead of black, that would have been changing the whole story. You know, and that would not be historically accurate. I'm saying that major pieces of history in docudramas should be preserved, especially if there's no logical reason to leave them out.
So you can't ever make a movie about landing on the moon without having that moment? I mean, that's like seeing Uncle Ben die in the Spider-Man movies. We've seen it on screen 10,000 times. Do we really need to see it one more?
Yes, we do. Historically accurate, we do need to see it.
But I think, as Mike has pointed out, there was more to the film than this. Even Neil Armstrong's boys, they said that their father was, quote, a man who suffered privately through great tragedies with incredible grace. That's what I'd like to see that man portrayed. They talked about their father's unique personal experience. That's what I would like to see portrayed. When I go to a drama, again, like I'm saying, to simply see all the specific things that happened doesn't necessarily make it a better or worse movie. But the other point that I think the caller has raised is the fact that we take, you know, there are things going on in this world like policemen shooting unarmed young men. There are things going on in this world like...
Armed young men shooting policemen.
That's probably happened too.
Quite a bit.
And should be objected to. And it is. And we also see people marching in Charlottesville, driving their car into a crowd. One person did that. And the point of the matter, what I'm trying to say is there are real issues out there that bear discussion, and yet this is the kind of thing that happens in the world today. We seize upon these kind of minor things, Joe. In fact, even one of the letter writers here, while you were talking to the caller, the writer said, "Oh, for Pete's sake, Joe, let it go."
Yeah, what's for
please.
Margaret? Margaret's another one of those people.
Wait, whoa!
she'll beat me over the head for that. But seriously, Mike, you and I did disagree on Operation Finale, but your objection to it was the story was told in a boring manner. I liked it because I thought it was told very accurately. Obviously, the conversations, no one knows what they were. They had to create them perhaps out of whole cloth, but they weren't out of context or what might have actually been said in those circumstances. And I thought it told a very important story about capturing Adolf Eichmann, taking him back to Israel, the harrowing experience that the Israeli agents went through, getting him out of the country. I thought it made a very compelling and interesting story, and it also told a very important historical fact about Adolf Eichmann.
Yes, but historical accuracy is not the number one goal of film. Drama is, and movies have to go with what makes the best drama or what's the right choice to tell whatever particular story they're telling. You know, and that's why I think that so many people getting upset about First Man is preposterous, because A, the movie hasn't come out yet, and so most people haven't seen it. And B, because they haven't seen it, they don't know what the film's tone is or what its approach is, or they haven't seen for themselves maybe why that particular shot was not included. So I think that this is much ado about nothing.
So you haven't seen it either, so you can't say logically why they would have left that shot out. You're just surmising, right?
No, I'm going based on what the filmmakers have said. But I have also talked to people who have seen the film at its film festival premiere over the weekend, and they say that there are American flags all through it, and the tone of the film overall is incredibly patriotic, that these men are portrayed as American heroes, and that the mission to the moon is portrayed as a great victory for America. So I think it's it's just kind of absurd that a lot of people who haven't seen the movie are finding fault with it, when really, when they see it, it sounds like they're going to be very pleased with the portrayal of America and what these people did.
I'd be thrilled with it if they had that scene in it. Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call, as always, even though we disagree.
Oh, hey, always a pleasure. Thank
Take
you
care.
Very much.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Dale, you're on the mark this morning.
Yeah, I think going to space, I don't think it ever happened, because the evidence is there. They're going to just...
It never happened? You don't believe that we landed on the moon?
Joe, just listen. Have an open mind. NASA was... The U.S. was struggling to catch up to the U.S., meaning to Russia, so they created this thing called NASA. And they told all the people in the United States, in order to get funding, oh, we went to the moon and landed on it. We never went past the Van Allen belt. I mean, why? This is just another racket to teach our younger kids, you know, keep funding NASA when we go private and make all the profits. It makes no sense. It doesn't. So I just tell you that they never went past the Van Allen belt, but they never proved it. And all the astronauts were all actors.
They were all actors.
How about the...
How do you get along with a guy named Van?
Van Allen? Well, he's the one who made the German scientists to make the rockets go up in space, and he found out humans can't go past the Van Allen belt. The radiation would tear them apart unless they had 12 inches of lead, and the spaceship wasn't that heavy. So, come on, the evidence is all there. It's just the longest-running Ponzi. So, how do we lose the technology to go to space? Can you tell me that? We have all the technology in the world today. We lost 45-year-old technology. Just don't make sense. We're not going today.
Yes, we are. We're sending rockets to Mars and other places.
What about people?
If you can send equipment, you can send a person.
We had people on the moon. They told us we had people on the moon.
And we did.
Now they're going to change the story and say it was robots.
No,
because
they were people.
All the astronauts were all actors, dude.
Okay, anyway, Dale.
You know why? They kept the astronauts away from the people who worked on the technical part. All the people with the technical part should have met the astronauts, not hide them from them for 30 years. Okay. That was the biggest question, too.
All right. Well, thanks. It certainly is a different view, and one that I don't subscribe to, but you're entitled to it, and we broadcast it. We're going to take a break. We're on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free hotline number. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Steve Kushaloff. We're talking about the movie First Man. And, you know, it's part of a larger controversy in this country. You saw today that the folks at Nike have now designed an ad campaign around Colin Kaepernick as part of their Just Do It campaign, recognizing his achievements for taking a knee during the national anthem, which has sparked many other athletes and other people, including New York State legislators, taking a knee during the Pledge of Allegiance and the national anthem. Is this disrespect or is this patriotism?
Well, you know, as I was saying to you, Joe, during the commercial break, I think this whole thing about the national anthem and the response to it, to me, again, it's a non-issue, and I think there are far more important things that we ought to be getting concerned about and working on. You know, as has been said over and over, you take a guy like Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, here's a guy, Jenkins has He's done things like during the national anthem, Jenkins will raise a fist. At the last Eagles preseason game when the national anthem was played, Jenkins stayed in the tunnel. And yet this is the same guy who participates in so many community activities in Philadelphia, raises funds, really supports the community of Philadelphia. And so, you know, so is Malcolm Jenkins, is he a traitor because he raises his fist during the national anthem?
Oh, no one's calling these folks traitors. Colin Kaepernick is a traitor.
Okay, I'm just looking for a word to counter the idea of patriot. Okay, on the one hand, we have patriot. I don't know what the issue is
protesting whether or not it is the proper venue to protest.
I think it's if it's the venue they choose, then it's the venue they choose, and they're looking. They are looking for, and Kaepernick was looking for a platform that would be noticed. Now, Kaepernick also, I believe, has contributed a great deal of money to the cause.
Well, we're not talking about their worth as human beings. I'm not denying that these people have done good things in their life.
No, what I'm trying to say is that Kaepernick has put his money where his mouth is, or at least to put it another way, he has put his money where his knee is, and his knee was on the ground during the national anthem.
From Nike's standpoint, you think this is a wise decision on their part to build an ad campaign around a guy who's obviously that controversial?
Well, you know, we just talked about the movie First Man, and the caller used the word entertainment, and so we had to decide, you know, is it a matter of entertainment? And so now we're saying, so with Nike, is it a matter of dollars and cents? And maybe it's possible that Nike wasn't thinking about dollars and cents. Maybe they were just thinking about what's right.
Well, I saw photos this morning on the news. Admittedly, it was Fox, of people burning their Nike shoes.
Hey, more power to them, if that's what they want to do. I mean, there are people that vote for Donald Trump, too.
Well, I'm not burning my Donald Trump Make America Great hat since I don't have one to burn. But seriously, I mean, I think that you look at what Colin Kaepernick did, and he obviously has sparked the debate, which is probably his intent. But now you have all these other people following suit whose motives may not be as pure and as reasonable as Colin Kaepernick's were.
Well, what do you think their motive is?
Well, I mean, if there were police officers killing unarmed black people every single day of the year, I would say, yes, we all need to be outraged and upset about it. But in many of these instances, the officers claimed that they were in fear for their lives based on something the person did or an act they committed or a motion they made. I wouldn't want to be in the position of having to judge whether or not somebody's intent was to harm me under those circumstances, no matter how much training I had.
When was the last time you had a policeman aim a gun at you?
Never.
I was, my family and I were driving to my aunt's house in New Jersey. And this was many years ago, before GPS was part of cars, etc. And we got lost on the way, and we were just driving around and driving around. And we finally pulled into a parking lot next to some kind of a store. It was closed because it was very late. And we're there, and a police car pulled up, and the front door flew open on the police car. The policeman from behind this open door, he had a bullhorn, and he said something like, you know, stand right there, don't you move, etc. I don't know for sure if he had a gun in his hand, Joe, or not, but I have thought about this in the last couple of weeks for some reason, and I know for a darn fact, if I had taken one or two steps toward that police car, something terrible would have happened.
Did you follow his directions?
Absolutely.
So did I.
Okay.
I was stopped for speeding one day, and I started to get out of the car, and the officer said to me, get back in your car. I got back in my car.
Sure. But the point is, you know, we're talking about, was this policeman's life really in jeopardy? Here I was standing. I had to have been standing about at least 20 yards away from the policeman's car. So, you know, if I had had a gun, maybe I could have done some damage, but I didn't. And the point is, Joe, that we think highly enough of our policemen that they can, to a great degree, maybe not to a total degree, they can make a decision. is my life in danger or not? Is this man reaching for a gun or is this man reaching for an energy bar?
You're not saying why he pulled you over. Why did he come in behind you? Did your car match the description of something involved in an armed robbery? I don't imagine the policeman just said, I think I'll scare the devil out of these people, pull up behind him and give him the bullhorn and tell him to get out of the car.
He just saw that here's a car late at night. It was like 11 o'clock. Here's a car pulling into the empty lot of a convenience store. Who knows? Maybe they're planning to rob the thing. I'm going to pull in and question him. And
so did he let you go?
Yeah, he did. We eventually got to my aunt's house.
Did he apologize?
I don't think he apologized. He may have given us some directions. I don't remember.
So he helped you. Ultimately, he helped you.
Well, I don't know that he helped us. He might have said, oh, okay, you're not a danger, and he may have driven off. Because as I said, Joe, it was a long time ago. So I don't have every single memory, but I do remember that police car pulling up. Now, you raise the issue of, hey, how many criminals shoot policemen?
There have been quite a few of them. We had a break for the news, but there have been quite a few that have been shot so far this year. One of our writers says protests aren't supposed to make people comfortable. They're supposed to make people uncomfortable, so they stop and think. Well, that's true enough. Hey, we're going to take a break for the news. We invite your participation. 1-800-795-9565. Our toll-free hotline number brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you. Welcome back. I am Joe McGranahan along with Steve Kushaloff, and we're here today to take your calls. 1-800-795-9565. That's the toll-free pharmacies, the Hometown Pharmacies toll-free line. It's sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Nori Pharmacy, the Danville Pharmacy, the Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trust Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They bring you 1-800-795-9565 toll-free. Your Hometown Pharmacies offer personalized service on a first-name basis. You'll see Terry, the owner at Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, Tyler, the owner at Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Steve, the owner at Nori Pharmacy, Duke Street in Northumberland, Kathy Grandizio at Danville Pharmacy in Mill Street in Danville. She's the owner there. Head pharmacist Jennifer at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg. And Brad, the owner at the Lewisburg Pharmacy, 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Some of the pharmacies offer free delivery and delivery services, but we urge you to buy local. Every dollar you spend locally gets spent locally 10 times over. And as Mark says, then eventually it gets sent to China somewhere down the line. Our entire program is brought to you by the good folks at the Sunbury Motor Company, a family owned dealership since 1915, 4 streets in Sunbury and routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at www.sunburymotors.com. Taking a quick look at the headlines, chicken crates were reported in a Montour County roadway this morning. Columbia Montour 911 tells us the intersection of Route 54 and 642 just outside of Danville was partially blocked with the chicken crates with chickens in them. County commissioners say Milton State Police guided traffic and are trying to find out who the crates belong to. It's believed the crates may have flown off someone's vehicle. Anyone with information is asked to call Milton State Troopers. The roadway has since been reopened. The chickens, however, are still in captivity. Teachers in the Milton Area School District are back in the classroom today after a mold issue delayed the start of school. All 5 schools in the district are now ready to open. In a news release, school officials say the Environmental and Laboratory Services firm, Mountain Research, received test results Sunday, giving the all clear for teachers and students to return to class. Some spaces in district buildings are still under remediation, however. That includes the multi-purpose room at White Deer Elementary, one classroom at Montana Elementary, Missouri, the high school auditorium, and a professional development space in the high school. The first day for students is on Thursday. And a Pennsylvania Republican official who referred to black NFL players who kneeled during the national anthem as baboons in a Facebook post has resigned. Former Beaver County Republican Committee Secretary Carla Maloney resigned Friday in a letter to the committee's chairman. Maloney apologized for her insensitive posts and said she would work to show everyone who she is. I think you could argue she may have already done that. Maloney called the players baboons on her personal Facebook account in response to athletes who have knelt during the national anthem to protest social injustice. In another post, she said, "Overpaid, ignorant blacks should go back to Africa." The Beaver County Republican Committee said in a statement that it had accepted Maloney's resignation and denounced her comments. Maloney could not be reached for comment. Sad.
Sad. Okay, I'm just going over Twitter here on my iPhone just to see about what the comments are about Colin Kaepernick. Somebody had one that I really liked. It said, "These anti-Colin Kaepernick folks are burning their Nike shoes because they don't have any books to burn." I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that's an interesting take. One of our writers says, "Morning, fellas. If you think about it, these NFL clowns have gone right from college football to the pros. There's an excellent chance that very, very few of them have served our country or are former vets. They have never given, never sacrificed, and have done nothing for this nation. Just play a game and reap the benefits of the American dream more than you and I can ever imagine. As for the moon controversy, the only time..." You can't go past there. I have to read it, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Steve's ahead of me, so he's scrolling past where I'm reading. "As the moon controversy, as for it, the only time I am not proud to be called American is in the case of American cheese. American cheese isn't even real cheese. Other than cheese, I have always been proud to be an American and get lumps in the throat when I hear the Star Spangled Banner and see a picture of Old Glory on the face of the moon. This is a deliberate slap in the face of our country and those veterans who have given so much so that we can enjoy the American dream. Shame on the NFL and Hollywood. Shame, shame, shame."
Joe,
that's signed by David Morgan, a United States Navy veteran.
You're a football fan to some degree.
Yes, I am.
And you can try to correct me if you think I'm wrong. When I watch football games, and I certainly watch my share, I very seldom hear, as part of the broadcast, the national anthem. Baseball games, I very seldom hear the national anthem. At all of these sporting events, when the national anthem is played or performed, it seems, for the most part, the TV channel, the network, breaks away to show a commercial. Maybe we should be protesting all these networks.
Not only. I think they do that where they think there's going to be protests and they don't want to be pilloried, if you will, for doing it. But, you know, when NASCAR has a race, they play the national anthem and the drivers all stand at attention during it with their hands over their hearts.
But I'm talking about when these events are broadcast. And as far as I disagree that the networks aren't showing the national anthem because of the protests, because when you watch a college football game, I don't believe they broadcast the national anthem as part of the football broadcast. And again, it's not because they're trying to avoid controversy. It's because it's not an integral part of the action, and they figure, hey, we can get another 30-second commercial in here. What I'm saying is the networks aren't showing the national anthem. They're showing commercials. Do you think we should be protesting the TV networks for not broadcasting the national
anthem?
Well,
if they aren't, this is a recent development because we've all seen the NFL displays of patriotism prior to the games with the giant flag on the field as the Star Spangled Banner plays. Now, if they're not doing that anymore, there's a reason, right?
Well, I think because the giant flags that cover the whole field, those are often, that is so unusual, it's only done on opening day or opening night, that it's such a spectacle, they want to show that. But all I'm saying is I'm just trying to make the point that to me, as I have said many times, to me it's a non-issue. It's as non-an issue as the networks choosing not to broadcast the national anthem.
Can you understand how people feel offended by it? If you fought and served in the military, I did not. I wasn't called upon to do it. Tried to enlist, but they didn't want me at the time. But, I mean, I respect our veterans, and if they feel offended by it, it offends me.
You know, I can understand how people might be concerned about it, but for a football player to take a knee during the national anthem because he is concerned about what he perceives as injustices done to people, it has nothing to do. In that case, it has nothing to do with the military. I mean, you know, I was one of these protesters back in the 60s who kind of protested against soldiers coming back from Vietnam. And I have learned since that I was completely wrong. So I have nothing but respect for people who put their lives on the line and served in the military. But that doesn't blind me to what I see are mistakes that are made and incorrect judgments that are made occasionally by law enforcement, which I will tell you is another profession I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But, you know...
No, I'm waiting to hear what you're saying.
Well, I kind of finished.
Okay. Well, you know, I can understand how they feel, how veterans feel, and I don't think that there's any harm in protesting, okay, but not in that venue. In other words, if I decided to protest here in my work, I'm here to do a program. Suppose I had a personal cause. And I decided I was going to protest, and I was going to remain silent for 25 minutes of this program and not allow anything to be broadcast because I want people to understand my protest. Is that right? I mean, I don't have a right to shut down somebody's business or interfere with somebody's business.
No, but I think kneeling for the 50 seconds that it takes to play the national anthem is not the same thing.
How about if I remain silent here for 50 seconds?
Okay,
I turn the mics off.
If I can understand how a veteran might feel disrespected, can you understand how a black person may feel when they see news reports of unarmed young black men being shot, and they can you understand how they might feel?
I do, but I think I would hope that I would also want to know the complete story and the details before I formed a judgment about whether or not somebody was right or wrong. The same way I would form a judgment about a traffic accident. You know, I'm not just going to blame somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that they did the wrong thing until I know. I think there's quite a rush to judgment every time an unfortunate thing like that happens. The white community, or if you will, the law and order community, we'll call them that, they want to stand behind the policemen, and the people of color who feel abused want to immediately condemn them. I say, stop everything. Let's find out what happened. If they are guilty of misjudgment and they made a mistake, charge them. If they're not, accept the fact that this person contributed to their own demise by doing something they shouldn't have done.
Okay, and from what I have read, whenever there is one of these cases, there are extensive details, even to the point of identifying what the young person, if they were reaching for a candy bar in their pocket, even that is
well, look
part
at
of the details.
Hands up, don't shoot. That became a big thing, and yet it never happened.
What are you referring to?
The one original in Kansas City. I think it was Kansas City or in Missouri, where they supposedly, when the young man was shot, he was saying, hands up, don't shoot. And he wasn't. You know, they had video that showed that wasn't what happened.
Okay,
but immediately that became a big thing because there was a rush. They wanted to blame somebody. I mean, this is a terrible tragedy. Somebody has to be responsible. And I agree with that. If they did the wrong thing, if the police did the wrong thing, prosecute them. Get the evidence and prosecute them. They are not infallible. But on the other hand, if that policeman honestly felt his life was in jeopardy and he acted in the heat of the moment to preserve his own life, whether I think he was right or wrong or not, you have to give some weight to that.
Well,
we weren't
sure
in that situation.
Of course. But from what you read, it seems that in some of these cases, I don't know how many, but in some of these cases, there is a, as they say, a rush to judgment on the part of law enforcement to believe that their life may be in danger. And again, as I say, we expect more of the policemen. We expect that they are, to some degree, trained, much more than you and I would be. They are trained to recognize when their life is in danger.
And they are trained that way. They are trained. They receive that training. But in the heat of the moment, when you think you may be being threatened, you may make an incorrect decision. And should they be second-guessed under those circumstances?
Right. And, you know, just this conversation between us shows how this whole issue has just drifted. Or, you know, 1 second we're talking about, is Colin Kaepernick right? Are football players right to take a knee or raise their fist because they see something worth objecting to? That's one issue.
Well, we're talking about what it is that sparked it.
Okay, and then all of a sudden we're talking about, wait, are the police right in shooting at these people if they feel their life is in danger? You know, so once again, we're kind of going from one thing to another. You remember at the Olympics, was it many, many years ago, two winning American athletes, black athletes, stood on the podium with their fists raised. Yeah,
there was a lot of to-do about that as well.
Right, and that was not specifically about policemen shooting unarmed young men.
Well, that was back in the days when race riots were still taking place in this country,
okay.
and blacks were fighting for social justice in a greater degree and under more oppression under Jim Crow than they are today.
Okay.
We have a writer who says, why do we only play the national anthem before sporting events? It should be mandatory that the national anthem be played before the start of any public gathering, movies, plays, bingo, church services. They should all have to start with a national anthem. God bless America. Well, every year I've been emceeing doing the announcing at the Sealands Grove Adult Band Concert, and it always starts with the national anthem.
Well, that's
good.
We ask
people to rise and sing along with it. We've got to take a break, but one of our writers, Cindy, has passed on to us a very interesting article that Dale should probably read. It's called How NASA Got Apollo Astronauts Through the Dangerous Van Allen Belts, and it's an article from Popular Mechanics. Now, if I had Dale's email address, I'd send it to him, but something tells me he wouldn't believe it if I did. We'll take a break for On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number. We invite your calls of participation. When we return, we are going to be talking a little bit about the big circus that's going to start today in Washington.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Well, we have a call coming in. We invite your calls and comments, 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, the toll-free hotline number brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Steve Kushaloff, and we're talking about a variety of things here this morning. Dick writes in, as a U.S. Army vet, I stand and salute the flag during the national anthem. That said, one of your writers wrote about the NFL players most likely not serving. Well, a Donald come lately to the party, the president not only didn't serve, but was a draft dodger and is now the most vocal complainer about others. I still am not happy with him as to me, he disrespected John McCain's service as well as he has insulted many veterans, such as Robert Mueller, a decorated Vietnam veteran. Okay, well, there's a valid point of view, I suppose, from him. John McCain is now being lionized by people who at one point questioned his mental health. So it's interesting. Cindy, you're on the mark this morning.
You know, I struggle with the whole issue about our expectations of police officers. We expect them to be infallible, and I don't think that's a fair thing. I don't think that's rational. There are other groups of people in careers where we don't expect them to be infallible, and I think specifically about my field, nursing and healthcare, and physicians. In fact, there's just an article this past weekend about a surgeon, who left a needle inside a patient, realized his mistake, tried to fish the thing back out in a 3-hour surgery, couldn't get it out, and the patient eventually died. And I think no one's suggesting that this physician be put in jail or even though clearly this patient died due to his negligence. So I think we have to, as a society, come to a decision about what we're going to do when people who are all fallible, who all make mistakes, when they make a mistake. And we should be consistent about that across professions.
But if it was done with malice, in some cases they charge malice was involved.
Well, then that's different. It's not just a mistake. That's purposeful, right? There was a nurse, the angel of death, who deliberately medicated people to kill them. And that man was found legally accountable and I believe is in prison. And that's 100% appropriate. I just think we have to ask ourselves, in cases where it's a matter of human fallibility, the capacity to make a mistake, shouldn't we treat all people who make mistakes like that the same way, based on profession?
And maybe we should just ignore those mistakes.
I don't think that's true. In medical community, when this kind of a mistake happens, there's accountability. That, for example, the physician could lose their license, the nurse could lose his or her license to practice. And I don't know that police are licensed, but they could certainly be terminated. They could lose their position. And I would assume if you're in that kind of a, if that kind of finding is against you, other police departments wouldn't hire you. So you'd be forced out of the career, number one, which is certainly something to consider, especially if there are repeated errors, right, that cause the death of multiple people.
Well, sometimes police officers have histories of excessive force. You know, if an officer has been charged with using excessive force five or six times and then eventually winds up shooting an unarmed civilian, no matter what his color, I can see how they would look at him a little more closely than a younger officer who maybe is just his second or third day on the job. And I think we had one of those instances where about 8 hours into a shift, a young man, a police officer, shot and killed an unarmed citizen.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a struggle. I don't in any way minimize this. I just believe that we should as a society work towards a common reaction to these things. If we're going to say to a physician that a police officer has to go to jail for this mistake, then shouldn't we also be putting doctors and nurses in jail for that mistake?
Well, that's an interesting point, Cindy.
I mean,
think you make a good
errors
analogy.
Kill people. Undeniably kill people. That surgeon who left that needle in that man, he killed him. There's just no question about it. The guy would still be alive but for that error. So I think we need to examine this issue. Step back, not on an individual case. Step back, take a breath, and examine what are our values, what is our decision, are we prepared to put all these people in jail?
But I think that maybe the difference is that one is done under official color, if you will, of the state. In other words, the police officer is sanctioned by the state. The doctor may be licensed by the state, but I've personally chosen that doctor to put my fate in his hands. And so it becomes a civil matter if he messes up. It's not a criminal matter unless he deliberately messes up, right?
Well, so then we would only do it for doctors who are paid by the VA, right? Because they are employed by the government. Or the doctors that work in the hospitals Pennsylvania runs, or government-run facilities, they could be in jeopardy of going to prison if they make a mistake. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess I am. But I can see your point. I mean, I concede your point, and it's a good one that maybe we should think about this a little more carefully in the future.
Outside of the passion of the specific incident, I don't think that's helpful. I understand why people do it, but I don't believe we're going to solve this problem by throwing stones at each other and on an individual basis. I think we need to come to some reckoning. How will we hold people who hold our lives in their hands accountable when they make mistakes?
Well,
thanks.
Good point. Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
All right, Lance, you're on the mark this morning.
As usual, 90% of the time, I agree with Cindy. She's really hit the nail.
All right. Thank you for calling.
No,
have a
really
nice day.
Hold it.
I know.
Okay,
you're saying you agree
right
with her. I thought maybe that's all you
but
had to say.
I think all of us as citizens have a responsibility to cooperate with the police in every way possible, like putting our hands up on a steering wheel when we're stopped and trying to not make any sharp moves and all that. That's the kind of thing. Just to say thanks to the police for doing what they do, really. And I think that all it would behoove all of us to realize that when that policeman pulls you over, he has no idea who you are. Well, maybe they run a plate and they know that you're a solid citizen, but was the car stolen?
Sure.
Was, you know, and when a person decides to run away from the police, I have no idea if this individual had just murdered half his family and is getting away, or is going somewhere else to do some dastardly deed, or if this guy is a wanted criminal. I mean, no idea. And yet they will hold a policeman responsible because some idiot drove 100 miles an hour and killed himself. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't.
Well, it's a difficult, dangerous job. I mean, we can see that even in our local area, the times policemen are assaulted. You know, there was just a case in Sunbury the other week where somebody assaulted a police officer. So, you know, I think many times they show very great restraint in the face of provocation that might put many of us over the edge.
Well, insofar as being angry with a policeman that behaved that way in New Jersey, in New Jersey, if you're a cop, you got to behave that way. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, if you were in a rough area, you might have not thought you were in a rough area, but you may have been. And that is the way they must react, or they're not going to get the crow the next morning.
Well, in the case I was talking about, it really was not a particularly rough area. It was out in the suburbs. It was just off of the highway. You know, I don't really have a lot that I even want to add to this discussion because it's so sensitive, and it's almost like we think, well, you know, that's the purpose of this show, to get on and talk about these highly sensitive issues. You know, how can we sit here and try to show any kind of empathy to the victims who although there haven't been a lot of cases, Joe, as you've said, there have been a substantial number. So how can we sit here and show any empathy towards them without sounding as if, well, you are anti-police, you're against the police, which is not the case at all. I can't think of a much more dangerous job. I mean, people like policemen and firemen and soldiers participating in war, to put ourselves in their place, to just think we can even imagine and how we might react is virtually impossible. The only thing I was going to add, there have been some cities where the members of the community and the police have come together to try to understand each other, to try to work out some of these issues. To some degree, that's the kind of thing Cindy was talking about, where you have to try to understand the other individual. The only thing I guess I would get back to is, what's the issue that we are talking about? If folks want to talk about policemen mistakenly shooting unarmed people, that's fine. They can talk about it. And all I'm going to say is that I would hope the police would show extreme restraint and try to leave it at that.
Okay. Lance, anything else? We'll give you the last word, and then we got to move on and take a break.
Well, all I can say is if the civilians would follow the protocol, none of those would have been killed.
Well,
none of those people. If you would have put your hands up and you said, "Hey, officer, I'm doing wrong. This is it."
Yeah,
but they did not.
But I don't think that's always the case. And Joe said, you know, we don't always know the details. But, you know, the media in all of these cases does a pretty thorough job in trying to determine exactly what happened. And in many cases, the individual was not doing anything terribly wrong, particularly wrong, for whatever reason, the policeman may have felt that there was something happening that was not happening.
Well, when you run from a policeman, I think the policeman's going to automatically assume that something is amiss.
Okay, but see, that's what I'm saying. You're acting as if in every one of these cases, the victim was running away from the police.
And some of them they were.
Well, in some of them, Joe, but not in all of them. And Lance, you know, if we would cooperate, then these things wouldn't happen. You know, I'll tell you what, if we had no criminals in the world, none of these things would happen either.
Okay, we got to leave it at that. Lance, thank you very much for calling. 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Our toll-free hotline number is 1-800-795-9565, brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. The entire program brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. And welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, along with Steve Kushaloff, and a writer sends us this email. Not all veterans oppose the players kneeling. There have been calls to this program stating that a vet I know says their right to protest is one of the reasons he served and fought in a war. Most of these players are very involved with veteran-related charities. The injustice they see day-to-day is a valid reason to show their displeasure on a nationally broadcast stage. It's about their rights as citizens of the USA, and that's what makes America great. Okay, thank you for those comments. Well, there is a circus in town. Washington's the town, the circus, the Supreme Court nomination of Mr. Brett Kavanaugh. And the Republicans are lined up to say this is a good thing, we got to push this through. The Democrats are looking to stall it, stop it any way they can. Who's going to win in this process?
Well, the common belief among the media seems to be that the Republicans have the votes and that it's going to happen. As you say, Joe, there are a couple of Republicans who may not vote for Kavanaugh. On the other hand, there are a couple of Democrats who may find themselves voting for Kavanaugh. So it's hard to say. You know, to me, the bigger issue, and there's always a bigger issue, the bigger issue started with Mitch McConnell when Obama was still the president and there was a vacancy on the Supreme Court, and Mitch McConnell essentially said, we don't care if there's a vacancy or not. We don't care if you're the sitting president. We are not going to pay any attention to your nominee. We're not even going to speak to him. And so that's what's now happened with Supreme Court nominees.
Oh, so two wrongs make a right.
Well, two wrongs often turn into both sides saying, okay, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Is that good? Is that good government?
Of course it's not, Joe, for Pete's sake. But, you know, that's where things are. And the entire John McCain memorial service on Saturday was all about a testament to good government and how John McCain stood for good government
and led by people on the left who once claimed that he was mentally unfit to be president.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, John McCain did have quite a temper, and he was known to sometimes fly a bit off the handle. But as one speaker yesterday on one of these Sunday morning shows said, he was a man of courage, honor, nobility, character. And don't we wish we could see those qualities emulated in our political landscape today?
Well, you know, he was a flawed human being.
As
many people are, you know.
We've been talking about that all morning.
Right.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, I don't think that we do him an honor by making him seem a saint, which he wasn't. At the same time, I think a fair assessment of his life gives him the benefit of the doubt in many areas.
Yeah, and I'm not sure we see him as a saint. I think we see him as, number one, let's face it, a personality that many of us found entertaining.
Okay. All right, but now here is a guy who has his issues with the president, and I know you're not a big fan of the president or a fan at all of the president.
Correct.
You know, so all right, here's a guy who has really sabotaged him with respect to the vote on Obamacare. I mean, let's face it, everybody thought he was going to come in there and cast a vote to gut the program and start over again, but he came in and voted it down, being a contrarian. So, I mean, I can understand why the president was a little put out with him. Yet I think the president displayed a remarkable lack of grace and common decency by not extending the flag, lowering for until his internment, which is pretty much typical, you know. But in this case, President Trump can be a vile and despicable human being. I'm not arguing that point. I think many of the things he's done on policy, I agree with, and his nominations for the Supreme Court, I hardly agree with, as I agree with President Obama's selection of Merrick Garland at the time. He was qualified. He was, you know, a good jurist. He made reasonable decisions. And I think the same is true of Brett Kavanaugh. But yet here we are going through the same kind of circus. The Republicans didn't want to talk about Merrick Garland. The Democrats don't want to talk about this guy. They want more documents released. They released 46,000 pages of documents last night, set a room up in the Capitol where they could be viewed, and not a single Democrat went in to view them.
The thing you can say about John McCain at the bottom is he stood up for what he believed. And there's two things.
So does President Trump, if you're going to make that argument.
Well, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about John McCain. Number one, stood up for what he believed. One, two, three, four, five. It's only six words. But here's the point. Number one, he believed in something. How many of our politicians today, including Donald Trump, don't even seem to believe in anything?
That's they believe in finding out which way the wind's blowing and then acting accordingly.
Exactly. You know, one thing I've come to believe about Ronald Reagan, another president whom I didn't support, Ronald Reagan had principles. He had governing principles. So he did have beliefs. That's number one, and John McCain shares that. And the second thing is he stood up for them. You know, you mentioned the vote that McCain cast against the elimination of Obamacare. From what I have heard, in McCain's own words, the reason he voted against that, the reason he did not vote with the Republicans, is he thought the entire vote was being pushed through and rushed through Congress. And he thought it was wrong to be taking that vote.
Okay. Judy, you're on the mark this morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to mention, since we're talking about what President Trump did with the flag, why aren't we talking about the fact that he is the president of the United States and wasn't invited to speak or even be there at his funeral?
Yeah, what about it?
What about it? Well, what about the flag? One offense was, in my mind, no worse than the other.
So None. You're saying that he should have been, the president should have been invited?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That offense was as great as the fact that President Trump put the flag back up. Absolutely. Regardless of what his personal feelings were.
Why should he have been invited? It was a private funeral. Do I have to invite Donald Trump when I die?
Well, why should he have to even put the flag at half-mast? Why?
Well, he didn't have
Why?
To. Well, he didn't have to, and he didn't.
By law, he had to.
Oh, well, that's
first.
A law. Okay, Joe, I appreciate that. That's a law, but there's no law that says you have to invite the President of the United States to your funeral.
But only for 24 hours he has to lower it after that.
I think this reflects a lot on McCain. I really do. I think it's a reflection on how he always acted.
Yeah, kind of like a maverick. You know, this is John McCain was roundly insulted by Donald Trump. John McCain found that, in his opinion, Trump's politics were abhorrent and vile, and he simply did not want that particular man at his funeral. There were representatives of the Trump administration at the funeral. Trump's own daughter was at the funeral. The other thing is, and I think, had Trump been at that funeral, then that funeral would have ended up being about Donald Trump, because everything involving Donald Trump is about Donald Trump.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen a president take everything so personally. You know, in my notes here, I mentioned how Donald Trump ripped into Harley Davidson when Harley-Davidson announced that it was going to be moving some of its production overseas because these tariffs, the retaliatory tariffs, were going to hurt Harley-Davidson's business. And Trump responded by attacking Harley-Davidson. When is the last time an American president attacked an American company?
Well, because they're going to take their business overseas, too. That's why.
Yeah. I think
they're trying to keep it here in our country.
There have been any number of instances where American presidents have taken on American business or industries, starting with Harry Truman and the coal industry and the railroads.
Okay, they took them on, but did they stand there and advocate for the failure of those companies? Or did they say this company is doing something wrong and we've got to take action? I mean, Trump said this company is going to be taxed to death, and as far as the company leaving, the company was not leaving America. The company was simply moving some of its production.
Richard Nixon
overseas.
Went after the media groups that he thought were his enemies. I mean, there's a long history of presidential overreach in those areas. Hey, Judy, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Take care. 1-800-795-9565. We have to take a quick break to stay on schedule. We have Chris and Lance holding, and we'll get to them as soon as we finish the break.
Wonderful time of the year. No, not the holidays. I'm talking about back to school. The sound with the pencil sharpener as it makes the perfect point. The satisfying smell of a fresh box of crayons. Organizing my backpack so everything I need is right at my fingertips. I'm a busy kid in a busy family, so time management is a must. We don't have time to waste waiting for hours for our prescriptions. So Mom calls ahead to our hometown pharmacy. They get our refills ready and boom, we're in and out fast. Just like me on the soccer field.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
I know what you're thinking. Most 9-year-olds don't feel this way about school. My parents hope my excitement lasts until at least the actual holiday break. I say it'll last our year. I got this.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan along with Steve Kushaloff. And Chris, thank you for waiting during the break. You're on the mark.
Yeah. First of all, about Trump and McCain, he did insult McCain with his war record of being captured. And I was wondering if anybody ever really, and that, for some reason, that offense the vets doesn't seem to cause much of a stir.
I think it caused quite a stir. A lot of people were offended by that.
Yes, but it's never been taken back, and that's compared to the amount of time you talk about football players kneeling. Compared to that, is minuscule, or the complaints from certain people about it are. And also, if you consider what it actually means, if you think of it logically, if you don't respect people who were captured because they're losers, I guess, then how about people who get killed in captivity or people who get killed at all? I guess they're losers, too, in the president's execution.
Well, fortunately, he wasn't around during the Bataan Death March to comment on what might have happened there.
Yes, but, I mean, that's the conclusion. I mean, that's an incredible insult compared to kneeling. But and speaking of rush to judgment, the rush to judgment on the police, somehow you don't talk about the rush to judgment when the caller talks about how it's an insult offense to take a knee. That seems to be a rush to judgments with getting all the facts about why and how a knee was decided and so forth. But I'm really called to talk about Kavanaugh.
All right, talk away.
There's three issues about Kavanaugh that I think should cause great concern. One is the way he seemed to curry favor with Trump to get nominated by suggesting or maybe believing that presidents shouldn't be investigated at all, practically, suggesting that as a possibility. But certainly putting limits on the investigation seemed to be something he did believe on in quite seriously. And then he also did the abortion decision on the 17-year-old girl who was being held in captivity in Texas and wanted an abortion.
On taxpayer money. With taxpayer money.
No, it was not taxpayer money. She had her own money. Quit lying. Check the facts.
Oh, we're talking about a different case then, I guess.
No, there's only been one case of that as far as I know.
I think there's been more than one. But go ahead.
There's no taxpayer money. She had her own money, or she raised it somehow, or somebody was giving it to her. And he was trying to delay it. They'd already had it delayed, take 3 weeks of court decisions and thought to get, so it was moving into the second trimester. And Kavanaugh wanted to delay it to 17 weeks or until it was no longer safe in order to try to find a sponsor for her so she could go get out and have it on her own. But that process usually takes months. And it was a very clear signal of his position on abortion for anybody who wanted, maybe looking for a nominee. The other thing is he committed near perjury and certainly misled the Senate on his answer to whether he participated in anything about the torture of detainees. And he was even, he was referred by the Democrat, of course, to the Justice Department, a Republican, of course, for perjury for that one.
And what happened?
The guy who served the Russian banks and is now in charge of all the investigations of the FBI sent a note back months and months later saying that they looked into it and there is not charge, not evidence enough to get a conviction for perjury. But it certainly was misleading. And the things being withheld from the Senate are those things that would show that maybe it was more overt perjury than you know, perhaps.
They've already released more pages.
They want to look at them. And the documents you talked about that no Democrat went and looked, if you're talking about the recent ones of 46,000 or 146,000 documents, they were released last night in the hearings today.
They set up a room in the Capitol where they were available to be viewed. If it's important to have them released and viewed, why didn't anybody go view them?
Well, it was happened last night. How do you know nobody has?
Well, because it was on the news this morning that no one went in.
In the middle of the night to review them before the day before the hearing.
Well, it's that important.
Well, it is important, but they've also been selected and censored by Bush.
Isn't that his right? It's presidential.
I didn't say it wasn't his right, but it's makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Not really.
No, you don't wonder anything about it. Suppose Hillary had done it. Oh, my God, you'd be up in arms.
No,
that's what she did with her emails,
he is
right?
Well qualified. Kavanaugh is well qualified to sit on the United States Supreme Court.
Not if he lied in the Senate.
So was Merrick
not
Garland.
Not if he misled the Senate he in his previous
there's
to
been
get
no
a
proof of that.
In the first place.
You're assuming facts, not in evidence. There isn't any proof. He hasn't been charged. He hasn't been convicted of a crime.
No, he hasn't been charged, but he said he had nothing to do with it. And they found a memo where he was at a meeting and spoke on the issue.
Is it possible he forgot?
It's possible, but he's never said. They sent him a letter to ask him to explain it, and he never replied.
That's why everybody always says, oh, I don't remember. You can't be found guilty of something if you don't remember.
He didn't even have the nerve to say that.
Okay, we got to move on, Chris. Thank you. Lance, you're back on. You got 1 minute, and then we're going to have to move on.
Okay. The Palins were not invited to that funeral either.
True.
To start with.
Yes.
And yeah, when you think of a Maverick, the old cowboy, Maverick was a real burr under your saddle when you were trying to keep the herd together. And that's exactly what he was. And generally, the Mavericks don't dress out real well at butcher time because they're always out someplace, you know, running things off. So.
Well, with that little analogy about butchering, we'll leave the air for the day. Thank you for calling. 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number brought to you by the Hometown Pharmacies. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. I'm Joe McGranahan. Steve Kushiloff, thank you so much for being here with us today. Always a pleasure to talk to you, even when we disagree.
Which we never do.
No, we never do. And Mark Lawrence will be back tomorrow with On the Mark. This is WKOK Sunbury.